This Christmas season, remember, it is all about my King. I'm Jamie Bush, and this is Edify. Did you know that gold and silver has outperformed the stock market 3 years in a row now? Gold just went over $4,300 an ounce, and silver passed $67 an ounce. Unbelievable. It is a direct reflection of what is going on with the financial state of our country. Did you know that you can buy gold and silver sales tax free? There is a shift going on in the financial world, and gold and silver will play a huge part. You've always wanted to invest in precious metals, but where do you even begin? Well, you can start by calling Nashville Gold and Coin at 615-535-2785, located right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Call for a better deal and people you can trust. They also ship to other states as well. Nashville Gold and Coin, where trust is our currency. They offer one-on-one service to help you make a wise decision. In today's unpredictable world, protect your wealth with the stability of gold and silver. Call Kyle or Hannah today at 615-535-2785 or visit them at NashvilleGoldAndCoin.com. We put a link in the show notes to make it easy for you. When you're having trouble figuring out God's plan for your life, when you're having trouble seeing the manifestations of all the blessings that He has already brought, when it looks like evil is winning and we are being overcome with this satanic world cult that is now being exposed, soon everyone will know exactly who they are. You have to go back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden and follow the plan through the Old Testament and into the new, and find out why God had to bring in my King. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In the Hebrew language that it was written in, it says man became a speaking spirit. Genesis 2, 15 through 18. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you will not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper. Genesis 2, 22 through 23. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, whoa, man, she's a looker. No, he didn't say that. He said, this is now bones of my flesh and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Genesis 3, 1 through 15. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, has God really said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods, knowing both good and evil. So what are the people involved with artificial intelligence saying right now? They are calling it AGI, artificial godlike intelligence. They want to be gods, lower G. They want to have eternal life by uploading their conscience into the machine. a man-machine merger, just like Daniel prophesied about in Daniel 2, verse 43. And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they will mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they will not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are you, or why are you where you are? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said to him, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded that you should not eat? And the man said, The woman you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat it. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that you have done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because you have done this, you are cursed among all the cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly will you go, and dust will you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. It was at this moment in time when sin came into the world, and Satan took the authority away from man that God had given to him. And it is what the Apostle Paul meant when he said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, In whom the God, lower G, Satan, of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. And you know the rest of the story, but from that day on, Satan knew that God was going to bring in my king. He didn't know when, so he started watching the descendants carefully. He planned to kill any newborn that he thought could be the one that would bruise his head and crush his heel and destroy him forever. So Satan went after and tried to manipulate what God had created. He went after the DNA of man. Genesis 6, 1 through 8. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit will not always strive with man, for he is also his flesh. Yet his days will be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bore children to them. The same became mighty men, which were men of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. Verse 8, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We did a podcast a couple of years ago called The Days of Noah, and we went into detail of what happened back then. You can find it in the archives. So at this point, Satan had succeeded in altering the DNA of mankind. Half human and half fallen angels, they were called the Nephilim back then, or so he thought. But God preserved man's DNA with Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. God had a plan to bring in the king, but he had to preserve what he had created, his greatest creation of all, mankind. You have to understand that God's providential hand works through human agency. After the flood, Noah's three sons and their wives started repopulating the planet. But by chapter 11 of Genesis, we see the first example of an Antichrist figure appear on the scene. Nimrod, and the building of the Tower of Babel. We did a podcast a couple of years ago on this topic. For more details, you can go back into the archives and find it. But why did God scatter the people? Genesis 11, 6 through 9. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thenceforth upon the face of the whole earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord confounded the language of all the earth, and from thenceforth did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. God needed someone that would be faithful that he could use, that wouldn't be involved in the evil that man was doing. Remember what God said earlier, every thought of man was evil continually. They were sacrificing babies to Moloch and Baal. They were worshiping false gods. But God had promised Noah that he would never flood the earth again. He needed someone that he could start a bloodline of descendants with so he could bring in my king. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, "Get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curses you. And in you with all families of the earth will be blessed." Now, we all know the story of Abram and Sarah, or at least you should. Sarah was barren, she couldn't have kids and couldn't have children at all. And God had promised them that she would. Sarah becomes so impatient, she wanted the chosen child so bad that she told Abraham one day, "Hey, old man, why don't you go sleep with the pretty little handmaid named Hagar? She's in her 20s. And Abraham said, "Let me pray about it. Yes." It's right there in the Hebrew. And what happened after that? Hagar had Ishmael, and Sarah was filled with rage and despised her and kicked her out of the camp. Long story short, Ishmael had 12 sons or 12 princes, which have become what we see today, the Arab world, the Muslims, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis from Yemen, and all the other Iranian proxies that are currently surrounding Israel and trying to take her off the map. You can read all about that in Genesis 16. Three angels appeared in their camp and told Abram that they would give birth to the chosen one, that his descendants would be like the stars in heaven and the sands in the sea. One of the angels told Abram in Genesis 18, verse 10, "I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah your wife will have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door who was behind her. Sarah laughed. And the angel said in Genesis 18, 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son." I love this right here. There was an appointed time on God's calendar for the time of life. God had to hide the bloodline from Satan because he knew that if he found out who was the chosen bloodline for the king, that he would kill him. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole stories of Isaac and Jacob, but we know that Jacob became Israel, right? The chosen nation. You have to know this now more than ever, because what we are seeing in the Middle East right now is the dispute over the land that God gave the Jews, his chosen nation, Israel. That was promised by God Almighty to them thousands of years ago. They have every right to defend their land. Jacob went to a place to rest and lay down in the place to sleep. Genesis 28:12-15. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached all the way to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to you will I give it and to your seed. And your seed will be as the dust of the earth, and you will spread abroad to the west, to the east, north, and south. And in you and in your seed with all families of the earth will be blessed. And behold, I am with you and will keep you in all places wherever you go, and will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. There should be no question of who the nation of Israel belongs to, the Jews. Satan now knew where the seed that will crush his head would come from, and that one of the 12 children of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, would be the king would come from. But he didn't know which one yet. He is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything like our God. After many years of trying to figure out which one of the 12 sons of Jacob would the king come from, Satan honed in on the tribe of Judah and set out to have all the princes of Judah killed. 2 Chronicles 22:7-12. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. From which he was come, he went out from Joram against Jehu the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab, and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he killed them. And he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. And when they had killed him, they buried him, because they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. But when Elithiah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehozabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehozabeth, the daughter of the king Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Elithiah so that she killed him not. And he was with them hid in the house of God for 6 years. And Elithiah reigned over the land. Do you see and can you understand what happened? The bloodline that God had hidden for the coming of his son, the king, got down to one child, Joash, from the tribe of Judah. God hid the bloodline for hundreds of years within this child and the prophecies of the coming king, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, started coming out. Numbers 24:17. I will see him, but not now. I will behold him, but not nigh. There will come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel, and will smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there will be a root of Jesse, which will stand for a sign of the people. To it will be the Gentiles will seek, and rest will be glorious. God raised up King David, the root of Jesse, and his son Solomon to be great leaders of Israel, to bring the people together in the land of Israel, to take the land from the evil ones that had tried time and time again to destroy the nation that God had given to them. Not only for the Jews, but for us as well, the Gentiles, right? The bloodline of the king would run through the root of Jesse. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, it is a light thing that you would be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles that you may be my salvation until the ends of the earth. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and will call his name Emmanuel. The King was promised. The King is coming. The King that would crush Satan and his demonic goon's head was about to be born. But where? But when? Oh, I just love the plan of God. The prophecies had been spoken and written by men of God of old. Would he have a royal entrance into this earth fit for a king? The time of visitation was near. The prophecies had already been written. It was time for the entrance of my king. Matthew 1, 22 through 23. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin will be with child and will bring forth a son. They will call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The virgin, as we know, is Mary, who was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, who was a direct descendant of the bloodline of David. Joseph was also a direct descendant of the line of David. The king had a double bloodline to the root of Jesse. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Now Satan knew which tribe, Judah, which bloodline, the root of Jesse, King David, and where the king would be born, Bethlehem. Satan had a perfect evil pawn ready to do his dirty work, King Herod. Matthew 2, 1 through 18. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ would be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you will come a governor that will rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me back word that I may come and worship him also. Herod had no intentions to go and worship him. He wanted to kill him. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know from the story in Luke that there was no room in the inn, and he was born in a manger alongside the animals. The wise men presented him with gifts fit for a king. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country a different way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, Take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For King Herod will seek the young child to kill him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Kind of sounds like what happened in the story in 2 Chronicles 22, doesn't it? When Satan had the queen kill all the princes of Judah. But God, always have someone that is faithful to his word. God always has someone who will listen to him. Remember, God's providential hand works through human agency. Verse 17. Then it was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Matthew 2:19 through 23. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. So he arose, took the child and his mother, and came back into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus reigned in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He will be called a Nazarene. Over 365 prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus, my King. How anyone could ever doubt that Jesus is who he says he is, well, I know how. It's the spirit of Antichrist, right? Satan did everything he could to stop him from being born into this world. Jesus' entrance into this physical world, God became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14, right? Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. Think about what we have just talked about, from the Garden of Eden when man fell and sin entered the world being deceived by Satan, being told that there was one coming that would bruise his heel and crush his head, and throughout the entire Old Testament, Satan was after the seed, the DNA of mankind. He didn't have a clue who it was, so forgive me if I don't think that he's omniscient, because he isn't. He ain't got nothing but to try and put you into fear. That's all he's got, guys. He is a bully and a coward. Rise up, y'all. We have the blood of my King. The plan of God to manifest himself into a lowly, humble human being, the birth of our Savior, through a virgin impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Born in a manger with a bunch of barn animals, how humble can you get? Recognized by the wise men and given gifts fit for a king. Prophecy after prophecy was fulfilled. It is written. Luke 2:9-14. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, my King. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The first time, Jesus came as the sacrificial Lamb of God. He humbled himself to pay for your sin and mine. Oh, how precious is the blood of the Lamb. He came to fulfill all the prophecies concerning himself. He died on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed grave. He went down into the belly of hell itself and conquered Satan and his demons. He crushed his head and bruised his heel just like he said he would. He rose from the dead on the third day, come on, and ascended back to the Father and is now sitting at the right hand of the throne. He left us the Holy Spirit as a guide. What else could you possibly want? He promised that where he was going, we will be also. John 14:3-4. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. That, my friends, is a promise. The rapture of the church, born-again Christians, ecclesia, the called-out ones, is soon to take place. The signs, they're all there, guys. These dark times we are living in are just birthing pains. We did a podcast a while back about that. You can find it in the archives as well. The age of grace is about to wrap up, and God's wrath will be poured out on this wicked and perverse generation. You do not have to go through it, guys. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble. The 70th week in Daniel is about to be fulfilled. We will be taken out of the way to be with him. The humble boy that was born in a manger to be a sacrifice for our sins, after the tribulation period of 7 years, when God's wrath is being poured out, he will not come back as a lamb, but will return with us behind him as the lion of the tribe of Judah to set things right. In Revelation, John fell on his face in fear before the risen King, the glorified Jesus Christ. The first time Jesus came to the earth, the wise man bowed before him. When Jesus comes back to the earth, the second coming, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess his name. Philippians 2:10-11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord will be the King over all the earth. In that day there will be one Lord and his one name. Romans 16:20. That the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This Christmas season, now more than ever, let us remember how precious the blood of Jesus Christ really is. With everything happening at lightning speed on earth right now, we all need to be knit together, lean into his supernatural supply, ask him for his supernatural protection. Jesus is the access to all these things. He is the express image of the Father. He is my King. If you have never given your life to the Lord and you would like someone to pray with you, I'd be happy to. Close your eyes and bow your head and repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died for all my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now say out loud, believe it with everything that you have in your heart. Say, Jesus is my Lord. Congratulations, you are now a child of God, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth are named. Did you know that gold and silver has outperformed the stock market 3 years in a row? Gold just went over $4,300 an ounce, and silver just passed $67 an ounce. Unbelievable. It is a direct reflection of what is going on with the financial state of our country. Did you know that you can buy gold and silver sales tax free? You can. There is a shift going on in the financial world, and gold and silver will play a huge part. You've always wanted to invest in precious metals, but where do you even begin? Well, you can start by calling Nashville Gold and Coin at 615-535-2785, located right here in Nashville, Tennessee. call for a better deal, and people that you can trust. They also ship to other states as well. Nashville Gold and Coin, where trust is our currency. They offer one-on-one service to help you make a wise decision. In today's unpredictable world, protect your wealth with the stability of gold and silver. Call Kyle or Hannah today at 615-535-2785 or visit them at NashvilleGoldAndCoin.com. We put a link in the show notes to make it easy for you. If you'd like to help out our ministry with a donation, you can do so at burningbushministries.tv. Click the donate button. Or if you just want to send us an email and say hi or need prayer, you can do so at edifiedpodcast@gmail.com. Now, get out there and be a burning bush in someone's life. Take us home, Zach.